Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon, as it is the Midsummer Classic tonight, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game with Vladdy Guerrero Jr., Alejandro Kirk, as the two Blue Jays representing on the AL side. But right now, we're going to talk some football with Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Day one of practice, and Britton Gray, pads on today. Corey Mace has to be pretty selective with the reduced padded practices during the regular season, and he put them on today, and it sounded like Logan Furland was quite happy with the padded practice.
Yeah, he was. Corey Mace was asked if the padded practice was in response to the team's performance in Calgary, and he just said, well, maybe it was. Logan Furland was happy to have the pads on, let out some frustration, because this was a frustrated team. They did get out physical, out muscled in that game. The Calgary defensive line and offensive line both won their battles. And I tell you, the intensity of practice was good. There were guys getting thrown to the ground. The offensive and defensive line were hitting each other pretty good out there. And it was good to see that after, and as this team needs a bounce back after what happened the last time out.
What is the rule on pads in practices, Jamie?
What's the number now? It went to zero during the regular season. 2017, they went to zero. In the new CBA, they got it back to select few of padded practices during the regular season. But I can't remember the number, Britton.
Not off the top of my head. I think it's 8 to 10 somewhere in there. But, yeah, not off the top of my head exactly how many they can
do. It's not once a week. It's definitely not once a week. You got to be, as I said, you got to be selective when you're throwing the pads on now.
Can you imagine, like, going back to, like, the 70s or the 80s and telling your coach?
70s, right? Guys in the 90s are like, what? Belton Johnson couldn't understand. He's like, wait, what? What? They don't do padded practices anymore?
Here's the thing. You're only allowed to do the pads 8 times a season, and you can only practice for a certain amount of time. And if it's smoky, we're not going to play. Can you just imagine trying to have that conversation? I can't even wrap my head around that conversation with some of my old hockey coaches.
You know, times they are a-changing.
Yeah.
Health and safety of players is important.
In high school, we had a coach that made us throw up on a fairly regular basis. We'd be puking in the bathroom because we had to run lines.
And Britton, the coach was happy. The coach was like, good. Got a good workout
Mr.
in if you guys
Wolfer.
Are puking.
Yeah, Walker, sounded like you needed a better agent in high school to negotiate the CBA for you.
Trust me when I tell you, there was no agents knocking on old Locker's door for any sport.
So a little bit more physical at practice today, but there's a few notable names on the out, or not out, but did not participate. Mario Alford, Roland Milligan Jr., Marcus Sales, all no-goes at practice. Don't like that news, Britton, getting ready for BC.
Yeah, and they're all kind of at different levels. Mario Alford was out there for not in pads or anything, or not even his jersey. He was just on the sideline. Then he went to the locker room. Roland Milligan Jr. didn't have his jersey on, was in street clothes, but he was out there kind of watching. Marcus Sales at least had his jersey on, no helmet. Tavon Campbell had a helmet for a little bit with his jersey on. So I'm not sure what the did not participate in limited means, but definitely Tavon Campbell. He was out there before they kind of do their stretch. You know what I'm talking about, Jamie. They kind of run through team a little bit, ran that. Then they do their stretch and really start practice with the full team and everything. He didn't participate in any of those, but Corey Mace did say he's trending in the right direction. When I asked what their status was, he says he expects to see all three of them to play. I don't know how much we're going to read into what Corey Mace is saying about injuries this year, because sometimes it hasn't added up entirely.
I have a question. So pads, more physicality. You saw some guys that are clearly players frustrated with the performance on Saturday, so they're getting out of their system. But was there a change? And kind of a woo-hoo question here, but was there like a mood kind of change in practice today? Did you notice anything different about, because you kind of want this team to be mad, angry.
The only difference was, yeah, guys were kind of tossed to the ground. There was extra physicality even. It was funny because as practice started, Andrew Harris was kind of being a blocker with no pads on to the running backs as they were trying to run through him. That was interesting to watch. But in terms of, like, intensity, more yelling, wasn't really that out there. It was kind of business as usual, except that there was the added physicality this time around.
Sam Emelis listed as a full participant. Are we about to see the return of one of the more dynamic receivers on the Saskatchewan Roughriders?
I would love to know the difference between what made Sam a full participant today and what made him limited last week, because it looked exactly the same as it looked last week. He wasn't running with the ones. He ran a couple of routes in the pass skeleton. That was really it. So when he was listed as a full participant, I was very surprised by that, because this offense, at least for day one, didn't have him out there with the starters or even really the backups.
Green Zone Riders reporter Britton Gray, you had a quick chat with Trevor. How did he address Saturday's loss?
I mean, they're frustrated, but Trevor Harris is taking this mindset. He kind of said it before the game as well. Win or lose, at this point in the season, you're just trying to become the team you will be at the end of the year. Every loss can help with that. This team is going to look to grow from it and look to avoid a 7-game winless streak like we've seen the past few seasons. This team wants to avoid that, fix those mistakes, and be better. It's early in the season. No team is going to go undefeated. Their losses are going to come. It's how do you bounce back and grow from them? And now that's the adversity we need to see from this Riders team, because unfortunately for the past few seasons, when they've lost in bunches.
Yeah, we don't need another 7-game winless streak like last year. Although that would make the postgame shows interesting. But Britton, did you talk to Trevor about being the top graded quarterback after his yards after beatdown comment? But PFF has him as number one honor roll quarterback for the Riders after a loss to the Stampeders and only putting up 10 points.
No, that didn't get brought up with Trevor, because I think we can just safe to assume that he wouldn't care about that. They lost, and he mentioned it, yards after beatdown. You can kind of can't look at those yards the same way, the PFF math. They do. It's all stats. You just look at the numbers. It looks pretty close, and you're wondering, well, how did Calgary win by so much? Well, that game, in reality, when you watch it, wasn't close at all.
The Green Zone game day post game with Jamie Belton and Daryl. I think it was Les from Corning, Jamie, that said it seems like a good time. Like, he was looking at it from, like, this is a good time in the season for a loss. Is that something that gets talked about?
Was that when I yelled no right after they said it? I think that was my reaction. But
you know what? Like, I mean, Mace talked about ego. He talked to, like, you know, a shot like that is, it might be a good thing. Is there a sense that maybe this was good timing from this organization for a loss, if there is such a thing?
I mean, if that's how they're going to spin a loss, I guess any time's a good time, because you can learn from it if that's how you want to look at it. The team, it wasn't that they lost. It was how they lost. It just felt uninspired. They lost both of the trench battles. They have to be better. It wasn't like that's what fans were very disappointed about, was how they came out after all the fans waited for through the delay, the reschedule, and then it didn't feel like an inspired performance. It's a good time for the loss, in the sense that it's still early. You can bounce back. You're not out of any race for first place in the West, but you want to see if they lose at least a little bit closer and to feel like they were in that game, because at no point, well, I guess maybe early in the third quarter there when Trevor Harris finds Joe Robustelli, you thought they were in it, and then right away the Stamps bounce back, and that game was over in the third quarter.
All right, we'll pay attention to tomorrow, see if we have Milligan Jr., Sales, Alford back at all. Tavon Campbell was a limited participant, and Sam Emelis' status. A lot to look forward to tomorrow as we get set and get close to the Watermelon Smash game in BC with the Lions and the Riders.
When's the Blitz podcast? Guys, have you figured that out yet?
We haven't negotiated a time yet.
All right.
No locker.
Should we get Britain's picks from an hour? Or are we saving them for?
We'll wait.
We'll wait? Okay, all right.
We'll wait until later in the week. Let them think about it a little bit more, if that's okay with you, Britain.
Absolutely. I need to really delve into the math here.
I'm really curious about which way you go for Saturday's game.
It's already publicly disclosed that I am taking the BC Lions, so we'll see if Britain and Daryl.
You're going to lose
Belton.
Your Homer status, young man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I'm a homer now. Okay. Britton, have a good rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
That is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray with an update on day one of practice as don't like that a couple of members of the secondary aren't, especially when you're going up against Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions and Hatcher and Justin McInnes. I'm like, not good time. Not a good time to have some defensive backs going down.
Yeah, when I saw Britton's tweet from earlier, Milligan, Sales, and Campbell all out, I'm like, whoa, that's a bit of a hit to that defensive core. No?
That's a lot of a hit to that defensive core. More coming up here on the Green Zone as NFL camps getting started down south. And Zach Collaros has people talking about what is an athlete and what is a sport. And it has to do with Joey Chestnut and hot dog eating contests. That's coming up on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Oh, football fans have to be happy. We are in the middle of July. CFL well underway. Rookie camps reporting in the National Football League. Six of them today, including the New York Giants. Your Buffalo Bills rookies reported today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, a couple of more teams. Main camps in the NFL start next week. I think the Chargers actually start Thursday of this week. They got a head start because of coaching changes and yada, yada, yada. So they get a little bit of a...
My Bills have been a little quiet this year.
That might be a good thing.
Yeah?
And then, of course, we dip into August. It's camps for the U sports and...
Let's go.
Junior football teams for the Hilltops and the Thunder. And away we go. But this week, flag football world championships, a team from Regina / Moose Jaw down there at Canton, Ohio. We'll bring you up to date on them.
That's U18?
They're 14.
They're younger. They're a lot younger, yeah.
It's all different age groups.
That's Mike's team, right?
Yep. Mike Thomas, who runs the flag football league in Regina. He's the head coach anyways, but of course he has some of the helpers along for the ride on that. So we'll see how they do with some Canadian flag football.
It's interesting.
Representation down south this week.
In our truth or trash, I don't know. Did you keep?
Oh, no, I kept that in there.
I'm curious to see what people's reactions are going to be to that if they missed it.
Truth or Trash Tuesday. Zach Collaros had people talking in Winnipeg, and we'll have people talking in Saskatchewan on his thoughts on what is a sport, what is an athlete, and flag football in the Olympics. That's all ahead. Hope you're having a great Tuesday afternoon. Hopefully the weather starts to improve, a little more cloudy, cool, but might warm up into the weekend for some sunny skies. Of course, as we continue to enjoy our summer around Saskatchewan. Quick CFL note, Chad Kelly not going to play again this week against the Montreal Alouettes.
Meanwhile, what's going on with him?
Well, he broke his leg in the East Final, and he hasn't gotten clearance yet. It's a pretty gross injury. But Davis Alexander looks like he's back for the Alouettes. And remember, he has not yet lost a start in his young CFL career. He's now 7-0 as a starting quarterback. 8-0, sorry, as a starting quarterback in the Canadian Football League.
You're taking Montreal?
Yes. Don't like Toronto at all. And it's in Montreal with Davis Alexander.
Back.
Both teams are coming off a bye week. But the Bombers off a bye week. I'm picking the Bombers this week. People are scratching their heads on my picks. I am picking the Bombers and against the Riders this week. Bomber fans are very confused. They think I'm against the Bombers and never pick the Bombers. and I always pick the Riders. So people in Winnipeg are so confused that I'm picking the Bombers. Here's why I'm picking the Bombers. Here's a stat before the game on Friday that you need to consider. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, after a bye week since 2020, the lost 22, actually, since Zach Collaros became the starting quarterback of the Bombers late in 2019, after a bye week, the Bombers, since that point in time, are a perfect 17-0 coming off a bye week as they host the Calgary Stampeders. So I'm going with the Bombers after a bye week.
So let me get this straight. You got Montreal.
Yes.
You got Winnipeg.
Yes.
Saturday's game, you're taking the BC Lions over the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yep. Don't like that James Butler had a lot of success on the ground against the Riders a couple of weeks ago at Mosaic. And it's Nathan Rourke at quarterback rather than Jeremiah Masoli, who threw three interceptions and threw that game away for the BC Lions.
And you got
see that happening with Nathan Rourke.
Ticats winning one in Ottawa over the Red Blacks, which is
that's Hamilton's insane. Now one of the hottest teams in the Canadian Football League as we get set.
I got Montreal, set. Winnipeg, Riders, and Ticats.
Same except for you're a homer.
100%.
Okay. That's good.
They're going to bounce back. They got embarrassed on Saturday. It's not going to happen. They're not losing two in a row.
Speaking of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a podcast that I, the name of it alone is fan. It Handled Internally is the name of the podcast. That is in reference to Mike Kelly's famous back and forth with Paul Friesen of the Winnipeg Sun, who's going into the writer's side of the Hall of Fame this year, by the way, about the spy at a Hamilton practice. And the question about the spy, and Mike Kelly kept on saying, non-issue, not talking about it, handled internally. And Paul would ask a follow-up. It's a non-issue, not talking about it, it's being handled internally. So the fact they named their podcast Handled Internally, I think is hilarious for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But on that podcast,
cheeky.
The lore of Joey Chestnut came up with quarterback Zach Collaros.
Would you consider him a top five American athlete of all time?
Get the f*** out of here. What?
I never kind of screwed around with a disrespected Joey Chestnut right now. He's a top five American athlete.
No way.
17-time champion.
That is, he wouldn't be in the top 100.
He's not an athlete. He's just a guy that eats a lot. Guy jamming hot. It's not eating them.
That's a sport.
Jamming them.
It's a sport.
It's not a sport.
It's not a sport?
You think that's a sport?
17-time champion. How's it not a sport? Secretariat Man of War, two racehorses are top 100 Sports Century. Is eating 71 hot dogs?
No.
Similar
not
to
even close. Race. He wouldn't be in the top 100.
Flag football is going to be an Olympic sport, then eating hot dogs should be an Olympic sport.
I don't think so.
In my opinion.
Zach Collaros, if flag football is an Olympic sport, eating hot dogs should be an Olympic sport. So, Zach, and here's the thing. I went, okay, he's joking around. The media, the next practice, that was like their first question. Like, seriously, Zach? And he was like, I don't want to get into it again. But there is training involved. And he's a 7-time champion at it.
17.
Or 17-time champion at it. Like, he's like, guys.
World record.
It is a sport. It is a sport. Hot dog eating, in the opinion of Zach Collaros, is a sport, and Joey Chestnut is an athlete. Let's get to Truth or Trash Tuesday.
I'm here to reveal the nasty truth.
I would roast you, but my mom said I'm not allowed to burn trash.
My detector test determined you are telling the truth.
I'm the trash man.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
Truth or Trash Tuesday.
Is Zach Collaros full of it, or is he bang on? Is Joey Chestnut an athlete? Is Joey Chestnut's hot dog eating a sport? 1-877-332-8255. Truth, yes, Zach is right. The disrespect of Joey Chestnut has gone on too long. Top 100 athlete
No.
ever.
No.
Oh, yeah, he surmised that maybe he's top five because of the 17 titles. And he could have 18, except they kicked him out because of a sponsorship snafu with a meatless hot dog company last year ahead of the Coney Island Championship. 1-877-332-8255. Zach Calaro says Joey Chestnut, athlete, hot dog eating, sport. Is that truth or is that trash? Locker, go ahead.
Here's my thought on it. And I'm going to take you back to my university days. Wasn't really a university, but I like to say university because it makes me feel smarter. I was in radio school. And we used to go to the commercial hotel in Vancouver because they had cheap beer. And I can't remember what the prices were, but they were ridiculous.
Was it a buck a draft? I remember buck a draft days at the, the State in Regina. Those were important nights in a university man's life.
I think it was. The glasses were smaller.
Oh, yeah. That's the same at buck a draft night at the State. It's not like you were getting a pitcher of beer.
No. But we would go because it was a cheap drunk, right? So we would head down there, and there'd be a group of us, and we would go down, and we'd fill our table with these small little glasses of beer. And there was a guy that we hung out with that was also in radio school, his name was Bob. And Bob had this ability, Jamie, to pour beer down his throat. He would literally, he could take 10 of these
glasses. Like Tom Brady?
Can Tom do this?
You've never seen Tom Brady? Letterman or what show was he on? And he chugged a beer in like a second or less. It was amazing.
So listen, Bob would take a beer and he would pour it down his throat. And I've never seen anything like it in my entire life.
Sounds like a very athletic endeavor.
Now listen, if you ran into Bob, let's say at the grocery store, and he was getting sandwich meat, you would never mistake him for an athlete. And I would never give him any sort of qualifications, but there's no man on the planet that could drink beer faster than our friend Bob.
So truth or trash? What do you
trash?
Got?
He is not, just because he can jam
his hot dog eating
hot
a sport?
Dogs down his throat quickly doesn't make him an
is
athlete.
Is hot dog eating a sport?
No, it is not. It's a spectacle.
Rob, what say you?
How you guys doing today?
Very good. I'm hungry now, though.
Yeah, really?
I want a beer.
In this Zach Calaro story, one thing that's kind of left out about his background is that he is from Steubenville, Ohio. He was a two-time All-State quarterback. He led the high school football team. They were called Big Red.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I know this is because I went to school, university, at a Catholic school in Steubenville, Ohio. And Steubenville, Ohio is right in the Ohio Valley, right across the river from West Virginia. And before, you know, in the heyday of the steel industry of the USA, that's where all the big Italian people were, right? All the big backs, the guys who could do all the heavy lifting. And so after going to school down there for 4 years, you see the size of people down there. We all know that Americans are bigger, but the Americans in the Ohio Valley are creatures. Definitely.
Is that where the Kelseys are from, too? They're from Ohio, but I don't know what area.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Other people from Steubenville, Ohio, I don't know if you guys remember Jimmy the Greek.
Yes.
He's the CBS football announcer that got in trouble.
Yeah.
But the most famous person from Steubenville, Ohio was Dean Martin.
So,
how does this connect with?
So is are you saying Joey Chestnut is an athlete and hot dog eating contest is a sport?
100%, man. You got to train your gut. You got to kind of be in the right frame of mind, right? You got to psych up. This is totally a sport.
So, Rob, you're going on the basis of Zach Calaro just appreciates a guy with a good appetite.
100%.
1-877-332-8255. And by the way, I am not surprised this comes from Zach Calaro's, because I'm going to take a little bit more history back. Do you want to know who the most competitive family potentially in America is? It's the Kolaros family. His mother stopped going to his football games because she would lose her mind. And it was like, no, I can't watch him compete because she'd get mad at the refs and she'd get the cards. Cards at the Kolaros household become full-on almost cage matches. Like, that. This is this family. So any competition, I think, in Kolaros' head is a sport. Like, euchre might be a sport to Zach Kolaros.
Well, that tracks then. Okay.
So he might have an appreciation for alternative athletics. 1-877-332-8255. So, Rob started us off. He's saying, truth, hot dog eating sport, Joey Chestnut athlete. Sean, what say you?
He's no more than a circus sideshow. He's a novelty act that makes some money. That's exactly what he is.
Sean, I agree with you. I'm on Sean's page here. When you start breaking down any sport, I mean, let's be honest.
They're all just made up contests.
Yes, I get that. So there's a case there, but I don't know. Like,
is chess a sport?
But if somebody's really good at chess, do you put him into, and he's won countless? No, you're not putting him into the conversation with Michael Jordan and
I'm not.
Wayne Gretzky, and that's the issue. Right? And that's what Zach is saying, is that he should be one of the top 100 athletes of all time based on what he's accomplished.
17-time champ.
I know.
The training, the dedication, the excellence of Joey Chestnut. It's a real thing. He's the best to ever done it in hot dog eating. Where Zach lost me is when he said flag football's in the Olympics, so the hot dog eating, I was like, oof, okay, there's a shot fired at the flag football players out there. But 1-877-332-8255. Zach says Joey Chestnut is an athlete and hot dog eating is a sport. Tony says, no, eating hot dogs is not a sport. Eating a hot dog is not a sport. If it is, then sitting in my chair, binge-watching sports on my television is also now considered sport, says Tony at 1-877-332-8255.
We can't read that text below, Tony, so leave that one alone.
can't read that
so
one
at that, all. See, that's kind of the point. Like, then you could turn anything into a sport, right?
Anything can be a sport.
There's got to be a line. You got to draw a line in the sand
somewhere.
No, you
don't. Anything can be a sport if you make a competition about it, hand out a belt. People, is cornhole a sport?
Yes. Those are
throwing bean bags into a hole in a board.
Those are finely tuned athletes, Jamie.
Like, I don't think we need to define an athlete either on the your body fat index or anything like that.
Darts.
1-877-332-8255. Joey Chestnut is much of an athlete as Andre the Giant was in his WWF days. Uh-oh. Scott's not going to like
freaks that make
one.
Money.
This is... Calls are coming in. We'll get to Greg and some others next on Truth or Trash Tuesday on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, let's get to Greg, Truth or Trash Tuesday. Greg, hot dog eating a sport, Joey Chestnut athlete. What do you think?
Freak of nature, yes. Athlete, no. Come on. Like,
I'm with you, Greg.
Yeah, no. But hey, can I throw something else at you?
Yeah.
This Luke Wilson guy that's been speaking about the riders, you know, hot garbage and all that, blah, blah, blah. Tell me something. I just got a look of him at him on the weekend. Does he not look like Joe Dirt? Like, come on. Joe Dirt, all grown up?
He does have a mustache and a mullet, yes. But when you see him in person, He's an athlete.
He's a big man.
What is he, 6'3"?
He's taller than me. So I think he's 6'5".
6'5"?
Yeah. He's probably 240.
Joe Dirt's much, much more athletic brother.
Yeah. Yeah.